Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dag Aaslan. I welcome you to the EAN podcast, and I'm very pleased to introduce you to today's guest, which is Professor Laura Bonanni from Chieti University in Italy. And Laura, please, can you present your background? Great to have you here, by the way.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Professor Aaslan, for this invitation. And thank you, the EAN podcast, for this opportunity. I'm Professor Laura Bonanni. I'm a neurologist working at the University of Chieti Pescara in Italy. And my research is mainly focused on dementia with Lewy bodies.
Thank you. So that's an excellent background for today's topic, which is about the prodromal stage of dementia with Lewy bodies, or DLB. So I wanted to start with you, Laura, maybe for the benefit of those of you who might not be that familiar with DLB, tell us, what is DLB?
Dementia with Lewy bodies is actually the second most common form of neurodegenerative dementia after Alzheimer's disease. It accounts for about 8% or more of all dementias in elderly people. And the diagnosis of DLB is actually complex and is based on consensus criteria, which include both clinical features and biomarkers. It is a complex condition, which is clinically characterized by progressive dementia together with varying combination of core clinical features represented by Parkinsonism, REM-sleep behavior disorder, fluctuating cognition, and visual hallucinations. Together with these core features, we also have supportive clinical features represented by high sensitivity to neuroleptic drugs, repeated falls, and a series of autonomic dysfunction. The diagnosis is also based on the help by biomarkers, which are defined as indicative or supportive biomarkers for the diagnosis, including structural and functional imaging features like the reduced dopamine transporter uptake in the basal ganglia based on the SPECT or PET analysis, abnormal or low uptake meta-iodobenzylguanidine myocardial scintigraphy, and REM-sleep without atonia actually represented with a polysomnographic confirmation. These are the indicative biomarkers.
Thank you, Laura. That was a very comprehensive answer and description, so I appreciate that. So my understanding is that during the last years, like for Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, there is an increasing attention and focus on the early stages of DLB, so prodromal DLB, which is actually the topic of today's podcast. So maybe, Laura, can you tell us a little bit why is that important? What do we know about prodromal DLB?
Yes, thank you, Doug, for the question. So basically, the concept is that Lewy body dementia, which is a synucleinopathy, so based on the aggregation of a synuclein in the brain, has a variable progression with this aggregation many years before the full DLB syndrome develops, which likely determines the pattern of early clinical changes. So basically, as you have said, as happened for Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, we have a shift to prodromal. Why is that? Well, because as we will see later on in this discussion, there are several important issues that can bring us to how focusing on the prodromal stage can be helpful. But the prodromal DLB, it's a very recent concept, and it refers to a pre-dementia stage with signs or symptoms that indicates a DLB will subsequently probably develop that then encompasses not only cognitive changes and deficits, but also a variable mixture of non-cognitive clinical features, including motor symptoms and signs, sleep disorders, autonomic dysfunction, and neuropsychiatric disturbance. Because this first clinical manifestation can occur even 15 years before or more the dementia onset, precise early diagnosis of DLB presents particular challenges, and individuals are extremely difficult to distinguish from those with the first manifestation, for example, of Parkinson's disease or other synucleinopathies like multiple system atrophy. It is important to diagnose, though, the disease in the early stage, because the complexity of the presentation may lead to wrong classification of patients as psychiatric patients who can be treated with drugs which can be harmful in neurodegenerative conditions, like neuroleptics, as you were saying before, since these patients are characterized by high sensitivity to neuroleptic drugs, which can lead to a possible lethal condition known as acute akinesia or neuroleptic malignant syndrome. Furthermore, it is probably conceivable that clinical trials with potential disease-modifying drugs will be successful in the very early stage of the disease when the neuropathological changes are not very severe and widespread. And early intervention in DLB are focusing, in fact, on agents which can reduce the toxicity of synuclein. For example, there is an alpha-synuclein misfolding protein inhibitor, which has been shown in animal model of PD and DLB to reduce neuropathological signs of the disease, and which are the accumulation of UV bodies and also neuroinflammation. And also another potential disease-modifying drug, Ambroxol, which is actually now used as a treatment for respiratory diseases. It also increases the activity of a lysosomal glucocerebrosidase enzyme, which can lower central levels of alpha-synuclein. So the theory's base is that reducing toxin level of alpha-synuclein can be helpful for progression of the disease.
Thank you, Laura, for describing that. So you're actually saying it is important to diagnose DLB early on, even if we don't have disease-modifying therapies, but because although we have some interesting alternatives, that's a few years ahead, right? So, but let's say today, what are the main, clinical reasons for focusing on early diagnosis of prodromal DLB? How can we help our patients in that regard?
Thank you, Doug. Well, actually, because also the symptomatic treatments for these patients should be very tailored on the specific dementia subtype. And these are very useful in the early stage of the disease, while in the advanced stage, basically all the dementia patients are similar and kin to each other. So in the very early stage of the disease, for example, using cholinesterase inhibitors or atypical neuroleptic, which can help for the behavioral symptoms without having the burden of motor signs, can be definitely helpful. And also because in this subject, for example, physical exercise, which can counteract the increased presence of Parkinsonism, can definitely help in this stage of the disease.
Thank you. So you would recommend our colleague clinicians to really be focused on also this early stage. So not every MCI patient or early memory problem is Alzheimer's disease. It could also be DLB, right?
Yes, and the presentation is also variable. We can recognize three specific clinical patterns, let's say, for prodromal DLB. One is characterized by mild cognitive impairment, which is a little different than what we found in Alzheimer's disease, since these patients have more non-amnestic type of mild cognitive impairment, or if they have amnestic type, they're usually multi-domain. So there are patients with a specific and more prominent visual spatial disorder or executive dysfunction, so definitely different from Alzheimer's disease. And possible other presentations are the psychiatric presentation, which can vary a lot between and among visual hallucinations, but also real psychosis, like late onset bipolar disorders, or even there has been like a very recent report of an onset of DLB or prodromal DLB as a panic attack. And the third possibility, the third cluster is delirium onset DLB, which is a very specific because delirium, which is represented by an acute confusion, is very similar to fluctuating cognition.
Thank you. So there are different types of prodromal, that's what you're saying. And this is still an area of research, right? So I guess it's important that the research focus on these areas. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the psychiatric aspects. As you know, I'm a psychiatrist, so we see patients, late life patients with, for example, depression. And we know that there's a very interesting association between depression and Alzheimer's disease, and also depression about and Parkinson's disease as a risk or even prodromal. How is that in DLB. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, actually, depression is one of the supporting clinical features of DLB. So anxiety and depression are very present in these patients. And they're probably more similar to what we can find in PD patients as compared to Alzheimer's disease. And sometimes this depression is maybe characterized by hypodopaminergic neurotransmitter function. So sometimes just the use of the dopaminomimetics can help depression in these patients. So of course, it's very tricky to use these drugs because they can unveil other psychiatric symptoms. For example, manic symptoms and so on. So it's very hard to find the right combination of drugs.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. So you mentioned the Parkinson's disease, and to my knowledge, there is some overlap or at least close association between DLB and Parkinson's disease in general. Maybe you can just explain us a little bit how these two disorders are linked, if they are.
Yeah, actually, there is a lot of overlap and also debate in the scientific community about the fact that they are the same, basically two different sides of the same coin, or just represented by two possible presentations of the same umbrella condition, which is a Lewy body disease. Definitely, they have similar symptoms, just starting from the Parkinsonism, so the motor symptoms. But recent studies have also demonstrated that there are also different genetic bases of the two diseases. And for example, for GWAS studies, it seems that the synuclein mutations in DLB are a little different than what we can find in PD. So maybe there are different conditions. And also, the 1-year rule, which has been developed during the years, during research, to try to find differences in the two diseases, actually states that when dementia or cognitive impairment comes first as related to Parkinson's, we can definitely talk about DLB, while when Parkinson's is the first symptoms, we should focus more on Parkinson's disease. This is not just a game of mine to say what are the differences, but maybe the progression of the disease can be different. DLB have more disruptive symptoms, like behavioral symptoms. The visual hallucinations are very early in the course of the disease. It can be really disruptive for patients and families.
Thank you. Thank you. So that was interesting to see how these two disorders relate as full-blown diseases. But you mentioned the prodromal symptoms of DLB. I think many of us interested in Parkinson's disease recognize them as prodromals also for Parkinson's disease. How is that? Can a prodromal be prodromal for both Parkinson and DLB? And if so, what determines if a prodromal leads to DLB versus Parkinson's? Do we know that?
It's really hard. Actually, there is an attempt by the research community to use also the 1-year rule for the prodromal stage of the disease, especially for the MCI cluster of DLB. But definitely there are common features, like, for example, Ramsley behavior disorder are common in DLB and in Parkinson's disease. And the management of the disorder is actually the same in both diseases. So definitely it's really hard. There is a high overlap of symptoms between the two diseases. Maybe the delirium is one of the most specific cluster of prodromal DLB as compared to Parkinson's disease. And as well, the psychiatric presentation is really, let's say, scantily found in PD in the early stage of the disease. It's more likely to find this psychosis in the very advanced stage of the disease. So basically what I can say now from my point of view is maybe that prodromal DLB are really behaviorally more disruptive than Parkinson's disease with my cognitive impairment.
Thank you. But I understand that more research is needed in this space as well to learn more, right?
So, definitely.
So another question is towards the biomarkers. And you early on you listed a number of biomarkers that can be used to diagnose manifest DLB. And how are they? How good are they in the prodromal stages, Laura?
We can say that most of the biomarkers, and especially thinking about the SPECT with that transporter, dopamine transporter uptake in basal ganglia, is used also in the prodromal stage of the disease. However, the sensitivity is a little low. While the specificity is high as compared to Alzheimer's disease, actually those biomarkers do not help identifying prodromal DLBS compared to Parkinson's disease. So again, we have good specificity to differentiate this condition from Alzheimer's disease, but not from Parkinson's disease. At the same, we can say about polysomnography or myocardial scintigraphy and other potential biomarkers that actually are really hard to define in a specific way as compared to Parkinson's disease. So basically, now that the differential diagnosis is good as compared to Alzheimer's disease.
Thank you. You listed a few biomarkers here. I know that you have a special favorite in terms of biomarkers. You are one of the world leaders in the use of EEG for various neurodegenerative diseases, but maybe particular for Parkinson's and DLB. So do you think EEG has a role here?
Thank you, Doug. EEG has a role. It's actually a potential biomarkers for DLB, even the prodromal stage of the disease. And DLB actually shows abnormality of EEG traces or recordings, which are very specific and are represented by the appearance of thalamic rhythms in the cortex, the so-called pre-alpha rhythms. So we have a frequency in the cortex which is not found in Alzheimer's disease patients or in Parkinson's disease patients without cognitive impairment or without fluctuating cognition. And this rhythm is typical of a dysfunction in the thalamocortical system, which is called thalamocortical dysrhythmia. And very interestingly, actually, the thalamocortical dysrhythmia can lead to a four dissociative state of consciousness, which are very, very similar to the core features of dementia with Lewy bodies. So visual hallucinations, Ramsey behavior disorders, and delirium. A very recent study also found that in cognitively unimpaired patients hospitalized for various reasons who develop delirium during hospitalization, EEG shows the very similar same feature as we see in DLB. So maybe suggesting that delirium can really be like a sign if there are EEG abnormalities of a prodromal DLB delirium cluster in the subsequent years. And also MCI, DLB, which are subject with mild cognitive impairment and some core features of DLB, like fluctuating cognition, visual hallucination, shows these abnormalities very, very similar to what we found in the overt stage of dementia. So I think that EEG can be a potential biomarker even in the prodromal stage of the disease.
Thank you. That's very interesting. Of course, EEG being a non-invasive and cheap technology, right? So available everywhere. But it sounded quite complicated, the changes you listed. Is it for people like me and others who are not experts in EEG to interpret the EEG readout, or how can we identify this?
But of course, these are, a mathematical descriptor of a quantitative EEG method, but still just a routine EEG recording, like the ones that we usually use in our ward in a hospital in neurology, can be definitely offline analyzed with this mathematical descriptor. So it's not a hard technique. We don't need like a specific or a very specialized machine to record the EEG. So this is one of the advantage of the technique.
Oh, that's good to know. So it's widely applicable.
Actually, I could also make a promotion about the activity of the European DLB Consortium, which actually is led by a Professor Osland. And in this EDLB Consortium, we have several work packages. And one of these also requires the analysis of EEG centralized, which can come from several centers. So everyone who can just record an EEG can maybe join and then send data to be analyzed.
Yeah, thank you. That sounds like a great idea. Again, back from my clinical point of view, if you know, diagnose prodromal DLB and use your recommended biomarkers, for example, EEG or dopamine transporter SPECT. So if the diagnosis is confirmed or the clinician suspected, what then? What should we do?
What should we do? Yeah, we actually should definitely follow these patients in a different way as we do with Alzheimer's disease patients. The progression of the disease is usually more, it's variable, but it's usually a little bit faster than what we see in Alzheimer's disease. And it's important to inform also caregivers about the necessity, let's say, to face behavioral symptoms, so to inform how to deal with these patients. And also maybe for future decision of the family about this neurodegenerative condition, which is very disruptive, actually much more than Alzheimer's disease.
Thank you. So we are getting closer to the end now, but let's talk a little bit about, let's say, medicines as one way of helping our patients. And I am aware of that for manifest DLB that, for example, rivastigmine or other cholinesterase inhibitors, also donepezil, are recommended and with some evidence. But how is the situation for people with prodromal DLB? Are there any evidence or clinical experience that medicines can help them?
That's an interesting question, because actually for some national, for example, determinations, we are not all of us allowed to use, for example, cholinesterase inhibitors in patients who don't have dementia. And these patients don't have dementia. But definitely it's possible that cholinesterase inhibitors can help also for fluctuating cognitions at very early stage of the disease. So I think it's a recommendation should be done, and maybe like an international group of researchers should give their advice about that. Another issue is, for example, the management of RBD, the Ramsey behavior disorder. We don't have real clinical trial with drugs. We use clonazepam based on evidence of some reports and retrospective data, and melatonin. But still, we don't have like specific drug that can be used for this disorder, which is also disruptive.
Thank you. And if I may allow a final question, it's well known that many DLB patients have Alzheimer type changes, particularly amyloid plaques. And we now have exciting results from the Alzheimer field that even at the MCI stage of Alzheimer's disease, these new anti-amyloid agents seem to be helpful. And my question is, do we know anything about the potential use of these agents in prodromal DLB? And if not, what do you think about the future in that regard?
That's a very interesting issue. If the anti-amyloid drugs will really come to the use for Alzheimer's disease, it definitely the companies should be aware of the opportunity to widen the indication of the drugs also to other neurodegenerative conditions which has amyloid burden. And dementia with Lewy bodies is definitely a dementia with amyloid burden. Besides alpha-synuclein, these patients have amyloid in their brain. So maybe it can be a really helpful indication to use anti-amyloid drugs also in synucleinopathies.
Thank you. Professor Bonanni, Laura, thank you very much. It was really interesting and a pleasure discussing with you. And I'm sure that the audience have learned a lot about prodromal DLB. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Professor Olson, for this invitation.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.